is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be trouble.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Mellett, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and
103.9.
The
ump. You loosened that thing too much, man. You loosened it too much.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Can we talk about it'd be one thing to get a third, but just to have one that would just stay would also be incredible. Just stay right there. Just
I kind of want to
stay.
Snapchat, but I'm not a 60-year-old girl.
Yeah, just if it would just, if I could just right there, stay.
Says the guy who took a picture with a wrestling belt.
Ooh, Arky's throwing some shade on Dale Jackson.
I was having a great time. No shame in that. I had a fun time.
I do want to discuss Super Bowl with you, but the State of the Union is something that recently took place, even though I know it's probably old news for you because you have discussed it at length on your show. But I thought that we saw, and maybe this was just a one-off, but a little bit more of a mature Donald Trump. I don't want to say humble because he looked like he hit like three different walk-off home runs up there, like the way he would stop and clap and the way he like shrugged his shoulders. Himself. It's like, all right, is this guy practicing his, walk-off home run routine, or is he giving the State of the Union?
But, first off, I like that you called him mature. He's 71 years old. So
that would be a big statement for him, a huge improvement.
But all right.
What were your thoughts?
I thought Trump did, I've said this before, and he does this often, he did exactly what he needed to do. He gave a mature, to use your word, speech that hit all the right notes. For his base, it showed a little bit of his ability to reach across the aisle on things like infrastructure and bridges and roads and stuff like that. And on immigration, he said, look, I'll give you amnesty for 1.8 million illegal aliens, but you're going to build me a wall. And he showed I'm willing to compromise on this. And the Democrats have basically said, nope, we're not doing that. And now they're basically just looking like people who are not going to do anything with him at all. And they're making the argument that we could do better, so we're not going to help you, and then we're going to work to get you unseated, help make you lose seats in the House and the Senate, and then things are going to change, and then we'll have more leverage. So I think what we saw there was from now till the election, I don't think you're going to see much major legislation at all. Will we see a government shutdown? That's the next question.
Yeah. What I want your opinion just on half of that room. I understand that when politics are involved that people don't always agree. And if there are things that are brought up that you voted against or you tried to vote down or you've taken a stand against and you don't want to have anything to do with it, that's fine. But when the president of the United States, no matter how you feel about him as an individual, says things in favor of the country, the flag, and trying to, best he can, unite everyone, and you can't stand and applaud with everyone else? What does that say?
There's like a 9-year-old or whatever he was. Maybe he's 12. There was a kid there who worked on some patriotic issues. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was. And people started chanting USA. And they sat there.
He's the kid that started the foundation that puts flags on all the veterans' graves.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. And he talked about, and Trump, part of this is trolling as well. And he starts talking about the national anthem. Again, forcing Democrats to sit during the national anthem reference, further highlighting how they're cool with professional athletes kneeling during the pledge. Again, is it divisive? Sure. But let's be clear. These are things that are divisive, like 70-30, 80-20. They're not 50-50 issues. And these are things that he's with the people on. The people are pro-America, oddly enough, and he's branding them as anti-America, and they're helping him. They had a guy, a congressman, got up when people were chanting, USA, USA, like a professional wrestling event. They were chanting that, and the guy got up, and he looked like he was about to cry and stormed out of the room. A congressman, Luis Gutierrez. Yeah. They weren't chanting build the wall like I was at the Royal Rumble when they threw Rey Mysterio out. They weren't doing that. They were chanting USA. And if that bothers you, you probably need to be doing
really
something else.
Biggest stage of the year, every year, coming up Sunday. Do you expect to see any sort of demonstration, anything like that surrounding the national anthem for this game?
I think we'll do the thing at the beginning of the game where we look and see if people kneel, and we'll do that, or they'll keep people in the tunnels to avoid it completely. That's it. I don't think the Patriots have had a big issue with this, because I think they're sort of like a top-down team that doesn't suffer this foolishness. And I think that the Eagles, I can't remember if they've had a bunch, but I think they've had a few who have kneeled. It just becomes, what do they want to make the issue? Do they want to make that an issue? And the NFL has been under the gun for this. This is their biggest stage, obviously.
Yeah.
Do they really want to give Trump a win? If an NFL player and you're mad at Trump, do not kneel. Because all he's going to do is say, the whole world's eyes were on us, and these ungrateful professional athletes were kneeling and disrespecting our troops and our country. And that's what he's going to do. So if you want to help Trump, stand up, put your hand over your heart, whatever, or hurt him, just stand up, put your hands over your heart, and it becomes a non-issue.
Yeah.
You kneel, he uses it for his advantage.
What is your Super Bowl Sunday like? Because it's obviously a big deal, because you've stated that you haven't been to work on the Monday following the Super Bowl in 23 years?
I don't know, 23 years, but about 15 years.
Wow. Still, it's a long time.
Yeah, I always try to take the Monday off after the Super Bowl, because I'm going to be in no condition to work.
Oh.
I enjoy it. I enjoy having a bunch of beers and stuff with my friends, watching the game. We go to a lake house up at Smith Lake, and I'm planning on staying up there Sunday evening. So nobody has to drive back or do anything, and I have no desire to be here Monday morning.
Who do you like?
I like the Patriots. I like them to win the game, and I would prefer they win the game. We're seeing something interesting with Tom Brady. He's a dumb, four-time?
Interesting is underselling it a little bit, but okay.
I'm sorry, we're seeing something amazing with Tom Brady. Yeah, four-time Super Bowl MVP.
Interesting would be the TB12 method, but yeah. What he's doing on the football field would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And he's not – do you see a decline? I mean, it's just the guy could possibly get his fifth Super Bowl MVP. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't see a decline, but I do see a difference in how he plays, which could potentially affect him in the next few years. But, you know, it's weird. I don't know if you watched the two Bills last night, but
I saw you tweeting about it.
It's good. You should watch it. A big part of that was sort of the divorce between Robert Kraft and Bill Parcells, having to do with, if you're going to cook the meals, you shop for the groceries. And this seems to be, if you believe certain reporting, that now that is becoming a point of contention with Belichick and Robert Kraft. Kraft and Brady are tied at the hip, and I think they always will be. I think Kraft will allow this ship to sink next to Tom Brady, with him behind the wheel. That's how much he believes in him and trusts in him. And I think Belichick, because of his experience, understands this thing's going to end one day.
Yeah.
We got to have somebody else ready.
Instead of trading away all our quarterbacks.
And he thought Jimmy Garoppolo could be that next guy. And what we saw in a very short span from Garoppolo in San Francisco last year, there's a good chance he could and might be a really good NFL quarterback. So that's going to be intriguing to see sort of how it continues to go, because Robert Kraft may be forced to make a decision here soon of retaining Belichick or Brady, or because Belichick I could see as a guy that just walks away and saying, I'm done.
This is the part that surprises me about all of this. Brady's how old? 40-something?
42, I believe.
Okay, so let's say
40, I think.
Let's say 43-year-old, 44-year-old Tom Brady starts to see a serious decline. You don't think he's going to walk away? I mean, they've got to have a plan here in place. Or, you know, there's going to be a real issue. This is not going to be a Brett Favre situation where he goes off and plays somewhere else. Tom Brady's not going to do that.
No.
This is, but you would have thought Brett Favre wouldn't do that either. But this is not going to be that situation. They're not going to run him out of town. He's going to walk away on his own terms, but they should probably be preparing for something. I mean, eventually the 27 glasses of water Tom Brady drinks every day is going to catch up with
him. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Great
guys,
stuff.
Guys, question.
If you want.
What's up with the beard? What are we doing here? You growing a beard?
It might be gone tonight because my wife's done with it. She doesn't like it. But right. So we have an event to attend tonight, and she's like, "You need to get rid of that before we go to our thing." I'm just like, "This is like not even close the longest I've ever let my facial hair grow out. I've never gone more than probably 4 days."
Yeah, I'm that way with my head hair. I don't like it to grow very
right.
long.
And this is about 2 weeks, yeah. A little over 2 weeks right here, and so now I'm kind of like, "All right, well, I want to see what we can do."
Your
here.
Option is this: trim it. Cut it, get your neck beard taken care of, and I think she'll allow it to stay.
What are the guidelines of that? The rules of that? How do you
just go to a Supercuts and say trim my beard? That's the guideline, and let him do it. That's what I do. I don't
free plug Friday here.
Oh, sorry. Go to a Sports Clips. No. sportsclips.com. Go check them out today. Tell them Dale Jackson sent you.
All right, thanks, Dale. Good stuff. Political Sports with Dale Jackson every Friday at 9 a.m. right here on Sports. Let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
So that's 2 weeks worth of growth?
Yeah.
People haven't seen pictures that you're on Snapchat and stuff. Also, you've been doing some Periscope videos.
Yeah, I'll have one of those after the show. You can check that out.
Want to trim that thing up, I guess. Yeah. Usually when I let my facial hair grow, it's because I'm lazy.
No,
go like 5 or 6 days where I just... I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah, no, it's been the only time. That's the only reason I've ever let it grow. Yeah. But I think with the double flu, back to back, I kind of took a week off of really anything, and it kind of started going. And I'm like, all right, well, now let's just see how this thing plays out, how it looks.
What were you thinking when you had the double flu?
I will die.
Every day. Every day I thought that. We can get to this maybe next segment, but we haven't. Zach Barnett tweets, a new lawsuit filed against Gary Patterson and TCU should have the attention of every football coach in America.
I think every one of these lawsuits needs to have the attention of everybody.
Yeah, anyone getting sued, I think you should probably pay attention to. But this is a weird deal. Colby Listenbee played receiver from TCU from 12 to 15. He is essentially suing Gary Patterson for forcing him to play while injured. And the lawsuit states things that that Gary Patterson thought he was, quote, faking it. And Gary Patterson also told him that he could have him kicked off the team if he didn't participate in games. This is ugly, and it's an ugly accusation no matter what, even if it doesn't come out or even if it's settled, because there are coaches who will use this against Gary Patterson in recruiting 100%.
What's the old line we always talk about? Are you injured or are you hurt?
From the program.
It is a hard line sometimes to figure out, even with doctors. And sometimes
true.
You just have...
It's true.
Gary Patterson's an old school coach. So he's a bit of a hard ass. So he's the guy that I could very much see trying to push people. And then again, by the way, a lot of coaches... You know, one of the greatest things I got out of ever being coached in any sport, and this happened to me when I was coaching soccer, is that coaches pushed me to places I didn't know I could go. And that's a line that had to... There were times I thought I was hurt, or thought I was sore, or thought I was a little injured, but they would push me to places I didn't think I knew I could be able to do.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing about coaching. It's not as if you have meters that say this guy has 33% left, and his left arm is at a 9%. Even though that we're probably going to get one of those gauges at some point if they keep putting biometrics on these kids.
Charles Kramer tweets, Bills fan here, so no way I pull for the Patriots, but I hope Trey does well against other teams. Hashtag go Bills.
Trey Flowers?
Shouldn't it be hashtag Bills Mafia?
Well, you can do others. I think Bills Mafia is more about the people around the Bills.
AL.com Huntsville tweets, the time is right for Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts to change positions.
Yes! What? Alabama only has 3 quarterbacks. They may not get another one this recruiting cycle. They may.
Interesting you bring that up. College Football Talk tweets 23 hours ago. Alabama has a 50-50 shot at landing four-star quarterback committed to Princeton.
What? Princeton and Alabama, huh?
50-50. Right down the middle.
I know everyone says...
Alabama's the Princeton of the South?
Yeah. I don't know. People just want to immediately say, we are going to go with the Bama football. It's weird. It's weird that your choices could be Princeton and Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, you could.
It's weird that it's only 50-50. I feel like it should be 99-1 Bama chances.
But then again, I mean, this guy's probably watched the national championship game and was like, I ain't getting in over that guy.
No. Dirty Dave 07 tweets, at Cole Kubik, if you grow a beard like at the Dale Jackson, hashtag, I will die.
I will die.
Oh, good Lord.
Darren Revelle tweets, a 127-pound mother of four, Molly Schuler, S-H-U-Y-L-E-R. Schuyler just destroyed the field at the Wing Bowl. Just ate a record. 127-pound lady. Just ate a record 501 wings in 30 minutes
days
to take the crown. 501 wings, 30 minutes. Now, I felt like a tub of goo because I ate 12 at lunch yesterday. 530 minutes? 500. 100 with an H.
How many days off do you think she took from work afterwards? Like she said, I'm putting my 2 weeks today, and I'm not working those 2 weeks.
The first response is, William Beeman, need video proof. 501 is an absolutely absurd number.
Okay. So.
Well, it's, I mean, the Wing Bowl. There's usually like thousands of people in attendance there. I don't think Revelle's lying about that. Jason Thomas tweets, debate dodging ass at the Dale Jackson looks like the Wolverine's fat bald cousin at Cube Show. Man, those two do not like each other.
All right, Cole.
They do not get along.
The math works out. This is a misprint. This has to be a misprint. If this was true, that's a wing every 3.6 seconds.
What's your technique there?
A straw? Just inhale it all?
Yeah, it's got to be like a... like you're just yanking it all off the bone in one swipe.
Well, she's got four kids, so she's probably figured out the oral skills okay.
Wow.
What to eat, you know.
Or she has... four kids, so she knows she has to eat quickly to be able to manage all that going on at the table.
That's your theory. I like mine.
Okay.
3.6 seconds? I can't eat one in less than a minute.
Wait, you can't eat a wing in under a minute?
No, I mean, I'm deliberate. I like to enjoy the juices. That's a personal thing. You guys don't have to listen, mess with me and get some money.
You like the juices coming off the bone. That's your favorite part.
Don't have to be bone either.
GQ,
I prefer the bones ones, though.
Speaking of Archie's rap, GQ Magazine tweets, to save retail, Bloomingdale's turns to Migos.
Oh, God. Almost got... God bless. What is... For the culture. That's what
yes.
he said, right? For
yes.
the culture.
Doug Samuels tweets, Brady Hoke will be the new defensive line coach for the Panthers.
Hey, he landed on his feet. Must be the...
We never got to this story the other day, but I wanted to sort of bring it up. Fox News tweets, woman doing yoga on plane sparks debate. Would you be all right if a woman's doing yoga in the aisle of your plane while you're flying?
Nope. Nope. Here...
Kate Yeh, a yoga teacher, was traveling for training, captured on a now viral video by another passenger showing her performing leg stretches, camel pose, and forward fold.
Camel what?
Pose.
Oh, my bad. I gotta listen fully to these stories sometimes.
She was dressed in yoga pants and wearing headphones. She seemed to be unaffected by people around her telling you that she shouldn't be doing that. She said her intention was not to offend anyone by her stretches, but after getting to the airport for an early morning flight and little sleep, stretching is exactly what her body needed.
Oh, who the... Okay.
Wake up earlier.
Do you know what airplanes are for? Flying
yoga.
And sitting on your butt. Put on your cell phone and listen to some songs. Listen to a podcast. Subscribe to the Cube Show. And listen to some stuff you missed, like me singing Cardi B.
Now, she is...
It's not for doing anything else.
She's
nothing.
She's
nothing
stretched
else.
Out in the aisle doing the splits, like down the aisle. And then she's like completely bent over backwards. Trying to, like, kiss her toes, I think. What she's trying to do.
What's it, kiss the ring or kiss the toes? You can't do everything you want everywhere.
Apparently Kate Ye can.
This country isn't built for this. Airplanes aren't built for this. Airplanes are for getting fat people, and some skinny ones too, from point A to point B. You're there to suffer. You're there to be afraid of crashing. You're there to watch some stupid movies and listen to some music and podcasts, and you're there to get off. It's pure transportation. You don't get to bring your peacock.
Whoa.
You don't get to do yoga. You don't get to draw art on easel. You don't get to do anything. That's not what this is. This is for you to just quietly and calmly and politely as possible go from point A to point B. We are being really liberal with how much we just let people do.
I'm
just like, go for it. Be your own person.
I didn't feel like yoga on a plane would be the thing that set you off today on the show.
It's not just the yoga. It's the whole fact that we are just treating planes like they're our houses. And they're not. There are other people in these planes. Cole, what's the fewest amount of people you've seen on a commercial plane?
I don't know, 10, 12, maybe.
Okay, that's at least 12 other people that don't want to look at your yoga ass. There's also 12 other people that want you to put your shoes on. There's also 12 other people that want you to shut up and just put on your headphones and not do anything else. I don't want to be a part of this country that allows this crap. I want to be a part of the country that sees this lady doing yoga and says, you sit down or we turn this thing back around and we ban you from flights forever. We'll do it.
All right, we'll get to a break. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the prop bets coming up this weekend for Patriots-Eagles.
I will die.
Some news out of Florida State. Offensive linemen Ethan Frith and David Robbins, along with defensive tackle Darvin Taylor, will not continue their football careers as Seminoles. Robbins and Taylor have been medically disqualified. We talked about that earlier this week, which
how
means
grave
they'll,
a phrase
they'll
that is.
Probably end up playing at FAU and FIU.
That's true.
While Frith left for unspecified reasons.
I love that phrase, medically disqualified. Because it does feel
you're DQ'd, you're out.
It does feel like you came in with a chair to interrupt a match. And like the doctor's like, no, ring the bell. Medically, you're out.
You're done.
You have lost this match.
So,
I will die.
Die. All right, we got to get to a couple of these. I want to get to some prop bets and just kind of
get to a few nice ones.
Get your thoughts to see, sort of what you think.
Do you want to do it where, and I know this is late to do it, do you want to do it where if you get like a certain number wrong, then you have to run the board and I get to sit over in your spot?
Sure, we can do that. Are you going to ask me or am I going to?
I got to ask you. I could put you on the record.
Before we get to that, I do want to say a reminder that tomorrow Alabama will take on Florida right here on the Ump. Cover starts at 2 o'clock. So you can...
At what time?
2 o'clock.
What time?
2 o'clock. Oh, 2 o'clock? Tua Tagovailoa o'clock?
Yeah, what time is it? 2 o'clock.
Tua time. Okay, got you, sir. Took me a lot longer than I probably should have. To be able to do that. Okay, Cole. So I'm gonna give you 5 prop bets. Okay. You get 3 of them right, you get to stay on your side of the board. You get 3 of them wrong, well, you get to run the board, and we'll figure out a day that you actually do that. All right. Here we go. Look at some of these prop bets. Justin Timberlake's first song. This is not an over or under, but the favorite right now is Can't Stop the Feeling. Second favorite is Sexy Backs. But anyway, that's not going to be one of the prop bets. The first prop bet is Pink. She sings the national anthem.
I'll say yes.
She will get through it?
Yeah.
Okay. 120 seconds.
I'll go under. Just because she doesn't have the kind of vocal talent that a Beyonce or a Whitney Houston does that's going to want to carry things out, or like a Carrie Underwood that's going to want to carry notes for a really long time. Mm-hmm. So I think she compresses it a little bit.
Okay.
So I'll say under Pink, under 120.
Okay, earlier in the day, the Thunder and Lakers are playing.
Oh, boy.
So which will be higher, the Thunder and Lakers combined points or Nick Foles passing yards?
I'll say Foles passing yards.
Thunder
and Lakers? Good news is Lakers probably won't score like 130, so that's good. Foles greater than... I'm just going to draw an emoji basketball.
You just draw an emoji?
Mm-hmm. Thunder Lakers, right?
Also, the Waste Management Open is this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Which will be higher?
Streaker's time on course, yes.
Jordan Spieth's final round score, not like if it's minus 16, but the total number of
70.
Strokes.
Right. Okay.
The total number of strokes for the entire tournament, or... Jay Ajayi rushing yards. Sorry, it's the final round score, right? It is. My bad.
Yeah, it's final round score. What's he averaging per game? Okay, this is just rushing yards, though, right?
Yeah.
I think I blunt too. I'll say Spieth.
Okay.
All right. Spieth greater than Jay Ajayi. Okay. Got it.
All right, Cole, I'm just going to give you the last couple. There's 2 more left, right? Right?
I'm ready.
Are there 2 more left? I'm just making sure. We've
done 3. What do I have to get? 3 out of 5?
3 out of 5. Will any player break the Super Bowl record of 204 rushing yards?
No. No.
All right. Final one, Cole.
I mean,
do you know
Willie Parker had like a 95-yard run?
Yeah,
and I mean, there's guys who've had long runs like that. Like Marcus Allen had, what was his longest in Super Bowl history? Like 93 or something, 96. I mean, and those guys still. I mean, you have guys who have runs like that that can't get over 200 yards rushing. So I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, final one. You know who the new head coach of the Detroit Lions is, right?
Yes.
Matt Patricia?
Yeah.
What color is his hoodie? Red, blue, gray, or no hoodie?
I'm going to go blue.
All right. And now, this is your bonus one. Now, your bonus one is if you get any of these, like if you get like 2 and you need an extra one, right? Okay. But this will count for 2 if you get it right.
Okay.
Who will be...
the Super Bowl 52 most valuable player.
It's, I mean, got to go Brady. If I'm betting on it, there's
what you're doing.
There's
you're
no safer bet than Brady.
Extra bonus one. Player to score the first touchdown.
This is a good one.
First touchdown.
Now, you brought up an interesting point because most of the time New England starts slow in these games.
They're really slow. They've had to come back, and I think almost all of them.
Boy. I'll say Zach Ertz.
Wow. Zach Ertz. Let me look what his odds are. Zach Ertz is plus 750. Which makes him, yeah, I guess the second favorite. So that's still not good. But Zach Ertz, want to take a guess who the favorite is?
Gronk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Gronk would be the first. I don't think he would be the first.
That's where I was going to go, but I think LeGarrette Blunt would probably be another really good guess.
Yeah, he or really Jay, I think, would be the more. I mean, LeGarrette Blunt's got 10 postseason touchdowns. No one has more than that that's active. All right, so there you are.
Okay. All right, when we come back, we'll sort of give you our final thoughts on Super Bowl 52, what matchups we like, who we like. We'll give you our picks next.
I will die.
So we're reading some of these. You know, we had Victoria from one of our sister stations come hang out with us for a minute. And we were talking about the last time Justin Timberlake was doing the halftime show. Was 2004.
Who was the headliner for that?
That was 2004. It ended up being a Kid Rock, P. Diddy.
Okay, so there wasn't like a individual. There wasn't a person or a group. It was just kind of a collection.
Jessica Simpson.
She had one song, right? Was it? Did she ever have another song that did something?
I'm thinking of Vitamin C.
Wow.
Janet Jackson. Nelly was there. And then... Then she talked about how the next 5 years we got nothing but crap. Now, this isn't crap, but just to know how they changed.
Okay.
Paul McCartney next year. Rolling Stones. Prince, who is a controversial figure. He's got a lot of make.
I think he performed
songs.
As the logo, by the way.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's got some hits, dude. He's one of those guys that, like, you hear Prince and you're like... Okay, little red Corvette, Purple Rain, but then you start going down the list and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Then 2008, right after that, was Tom Petty.
I see where we're going here. We're going after your grandfather.
Bruce Springsteen. What do you mean?
I was there for that one.
The Who.
going for Grandpa.
Then in 2011, the show I still defend, the Black Eyed Peas and Usher, was Slash.
I was there for that.
Yeah. I Got a Feeling was the first song. Of course it would be. The 2012 at Lucas Oil Stadium was... Madonna, LMFAO, Cirque du Soleil, Nicki Minaj, M.I.A., CeeLo Green, Andy Lewis.
That's where M.I.A. Shot the bird.
Yeah,
that was controversial as well.
The headliner there was the Avon High School drum line.
Huge for them.
Mm-hmm. And then since then, it's been Beyonce and Bruno Mars.
Beyonce killed it. Bruno Mars was good.
Yeah. Then Katy Perry.
Katy Perry was good. She brought Missy Elliott back out there.
Coldplay I didn't like, but Beyonce was there too, and Bruno Mars was there again. That was last year.
I thought that was good.
Gustavo Dudamel?
I thought Gaga killed it last year. She was good.
Gaga was great. That was a fun show. Now Justin Timberlake.
My daughter calls her Baby Gaga.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to hear Baby Gaga. We're not going to correct that. We're going to let it go.
No, I'm cool with that.
It is. Somebody asked him at his press conference yesterday who was going to show up and be there, and he kind of looked at the PR guy and was like, do I say it or no?
Well, there's a Super Bowl prop bet for it, for like who the first person that comes out is.
I just think Janet's got to show up. She's got to show up.
It'd be such an...
It'd be huge.
But if she came out, you can't have Nipplegate come out again.
No, not
so
like that.
So if the NFL, you're like, okay, she could come out, but she comes out in a parka. She comes out... in a parka, and she just stands in the corner.
You know, we haven't really brought it up, and I kind of mentioned it with Dale, but are you expecting anything sort of along those lines like that? Any kind of political demonstration, stance, anything?
So biggest chance, isn't it?
Before the game or halftime?
Over 100 million people will watch this.
It's,
if you wanted to make that statement.
I don't feel like anyone is even thinking that anything can happen. No one's talking about it, and I got a feeling something's going to happen.
if it is, it's happening with somebody on the Eagles. The Patriots have had a couple people kneel before this year, but
so have the Eagles because Chris Long by them and puts his hand on their shoulder.
But I think the Patriots this year are like, hey, everybody, just
not for this game. Nobody on New England's kneeling for this game. That's not them.
I don't think anybody will actually, and I think a lot of it's because you just want to focus on the game. This is the big game.
Yeah,
I know everybody wants to get their message out, but. What's the message?
If you're a backup long snapper and you want to make a name for yourself, this is your day.
That's true. That's true.
If kind of step away from the team a little bit, out on the
Carson
field.
Carson Tink, tinker.
Take a knee.
Of Philadelphia. Go ahead and get your name out there. No one else is going to know.
All right, so as far as the game is concerned, I am gaining more and more confidence in believing that Philadelphia can win this game. The problem is, I think it's going to have to be a really strong performance by Nick Foles. I don't think that Philadelphia is good enough up front to just make a living on the ground. I don't think that they can run the football 42, 46 times in this game and be able to sort of control the clock and limit Brady's possessions and then find a way to win. But I do think their defense is going to be disruptive. I do think their defense will cause problems. I think they'll cause problems up front. But Brady. And I can butt Brady or butt Belichick about the way we butt Bama everything. And I just don't think – I think they will benefit most from what happened last year. And you've talked about Belichick maybe coming up with a trick play, maybe change of pace, doing something a little bit different early in this game to sort of change how the momentum can maybe jump to his side earlier in this game. I believe that. I think from a coaching perspective, he probably looks at this and says, we're not wasting any time this year. And he probably sits with Brady and that offensive staff and says, whatever we got to do, Josh, do it and get it going now. So we'll go total nerd and we'll go score. And I'm going to go 28-24 New England. Will be the fourth consecutive Super Bowl they've won by 3 points. And I like the over in this game a lot at 48.
New England 31, Philadelphia 0. No. It'll be like 31-26.
31-26 for Arky Shea. You going to New England as well. Yep. Back Monday.